Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears.
Hi, who are you?
No, we're not.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. Who are you?
No, you sound like you're doing an anti-drugs PSA.
I'm Scott Rogers, your father. Who are you?
This is your brain on crack.
Who are you?
No,
we're
cold open.
Nope.
Cold open.
All right, well, what are we doing here?
It's
cold open?
It's a podcast.
It's a whatcast?
It's a podcast. Lean in.
I am. I'm projecting.
Yeah.
Because you have me sitting in this chair.
Well,
that is on the ground.
You stole my chair.
No.
And then you got rid of the other chair.
No, that chair was bad. It broke.
Uh-huh.
It broke under my weight.
No.
It did.
like a slapstick.
Bent. Destroyed. This is not a chair podcast. This is a podcast about your father.
Stop doing
it. And Fillory.
Stop doing
this. Fillory and father.
This is not Wipeout. You are not
here.
John,
we go.
No.
So what episode is this?
Hi, I'm Evelyn Rogers. Who are you?
I'm Scott Rogers, your father.
Yeah, you're my father.
I'm your father.
No.
Here we go.
No. It was a podcast where we talk about the magicians and magicians related things.
And what magicians related things are we talking about today?
It's
an episode.
The fact
it's
that
six short
no,
stories about
the
magic.
The fact that Harry Houdini didn't believe
episode
in ghosts.
Eight.
It's a magician related thing.
It's directed by Sally, spelled Salli, Richardson Whitfield.
That's a fun name.
Which is a long name.
A fun name.
A hyphenated name. If you could hyphenate your name, what would it be?
No. I would not hyphenate my name.
Unless
it were my last name, because I made a promise to myself that I would never change my last name if I got married.
What would your last name be?
I don't know.
It'd be Rogers hyphen something.
I don't know.
How about Rogers hyphen plastic suitcase?
No. What would you hyphenate your name to?
My name would be
Montgomery Rogers?
No, not Montgomery. I had that opportunity and I didn't take it.
Why didn't you take it?
Because
let's investigate this.
I want Montgomery to be first.
Well, then you could have done Rogers Montgomery.
No, it doesn't sound good then. Because then I'd be Scott Montgomery, which is just a switch from Montgomery Scott, and then people would think I'm a Star Trek fan, which
so
not.
No, Star Trek's great. Star Trek's great
nerd.
because Quentin's dad is in Star Trek twice.
Yeah, who did he play?
He plays Simon Tarsis.
All right, this is not a Star
in
Trek.
In the Next Generation, the episode The Drumhead, he's like his grandfather was a Romulan. He's got little pointy ears, and he's so young and adorable.
We're already past the point.
He's in Voyager as well. It's great, Voyager. But he's a different character.
Snoozy.
Hey.
It's terrible.
Hey.
Have you watched it?
I've seen a little bit. You gotta respect it. We love Janeway.
They did it wrong. If I were a showrunner of Voyager, I would have done that show completely differently.
Nah.
I would have done it where the ship was on fire and Janeway was lashed to the captain's chair and she was insane.
No.
It was like the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner and there's nobody else on this ship.
It's just and her going crazy.
And her, she's just insane.
No.
And then the rest of the show is like them going through the logs and you just learn how like they go into this part of space that nobody's ever explored and all the horrible things that are out there, and they went too far and it cost them everything. It would have been a tragedy.
But Star Trek's about like
exploration
and hope for the future.
Yeah, great, but there are some areas that you should never go. And that's what that show should have been about.
Nah.
It should be a haunted.
You can
like
write your
scary,
own edgy Star Trek fan fiction.
My own TV show where it's a ship that gets.
Yeah, you could work
stranded
on Lev's space opera.
What is Lev's space opera?
He's writing a TV show that's a space opera.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's a space opera. That's all I know.
But space opera is like...
Space and opera.
Star Wars is a space, opera. Like, Flash Gordon is space opera.
No, it's like Fifth Element. It's a literal space opera.
My own ray guns and rocket ships is technically space opera.
Technically, but I thought it was more like 1950s.
No, 1930s. That's where space opera came
1930s,
from. 1936.
Rocket Man, Rocketeer. That's,
what do you think Flash Gordon and all that is?
I know,
that's
but like...
space opera.
But... you know, actual opera.
No, it has nothing to do with actual opera. The
well,
opera,
maybe it should be
the opera
actual
is the
opera.
High drama. That's what the opera.
But maybe
means.
It should be actual opera.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe somebody should write
maybe
a space
maybe you should write
opera.
A Star Trek opera.
No, I think there was like Starlight Express. That's not. That's a space musical, I guess, with roller skates.
With roller
Lame.
Skates. No, that's cool.
No, that's not. No, that's so. No, not. No. And if that's what it means to be cool, then I don't want to be cool.
No, you could roller skate and be cool.
No.
Yeah.
Way.
Think about like Ramona Flowers. She roller skates and she's cool.
No, she wasn't roller skating.
Yes, she was.
She was wearing...
she was roller skating. That's
no,
how she
was,
did deliveries
it was,
and stuff.
That's it was how the she other did, thing, those
no.
shoes that were hot for like
no,
3 years.
No, those were roller skates.
Rollerblades.
Those are still roller skates,
no, they're
dude.
Not. They're not skates.
Yeah.
Just by calling them skates
yeah.
makes it uncool.
They're roller skates. No. They're roller skates.
Now, how come roller skates are uncool and yet skateboards
they're not uncool.
Are cool?
They're not uncool.
What is it about skateboards that are cooler than roller skates?
They're just fine. They're just whatever.
You know, the reason why we're talking about... oh, yeah, there you go. All
they're
right.
roller skates.
The reason why we're talking about roller skates and Star Trek Voyager is this was the most boring episode of The Magicians ever.
Shut your mouth.
It was. There was nothing...
Shut
I fell
mouth.
Asleep, I literally fell asleep.
That's because you
episode.
Can't... You can't be bothered to pay attention when
no,
there's ASL
it's
on the screen.
Because the same content was repeated five
times. It was
times
cool. It was an intertwining, interlocking storyline from different perspectives. How fucking cool
it
is that?
It wasn't from different perspectives.
Yes, it
though.
Was. It's
it was
literally
the same
from
footage shown five times.
No,
over.
It wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
This
only
was the
occasionally.
Worst. I'm already rating it. 1G.
No.
1G. That's
no.
it. That's my rating for this
no.
snoozer of an episode.
No.
We're done.
No.
We're done. Thanks
no.
for listening.
No, we're not done.
Bye.
We're not done. The episode started with the magician's opening, but it was all written out in handwriting, which was fucking awesome.
Handwriting is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I love the fucking like sketchy stuff.
It's not even
stuff.
Calligraphy or
whatever.
Illuminated manuscripts. That's
whatever.
Fucking awesome.
You know, I was watching videos on that earlier
about how to illuminate a manuscript.
Yeah, for class.
You know how you illuminate a manuscript?
What?
Put a light bulb next to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course you're gonna fucking say that. That's your one.
My one.
That's
what?
Your one joke.
No, no, it's not.
That's your
I'm
one
not even
joke.
Getting started.
No.
This is the all dad jokes episode.
No. But the very first thing we see is Penny.
Yes, Penny doing parkour.
The love of my life, Penny Adeodi, jumping over things, over a recycling
parkour
bin.
Parkour must be harder to do in a leisure suit.
In
than
a leisure
it is
suit.
In a,
I mean, you could probably find videos of people.
Oh, I'm sure they have, that. Like James Bond and stuff. But
yeah.
Still, it seems like that the constrictive nature of a suit jacket would definitely. I can't get closer. This chair, I'm literally... Okay, for those of you out there listening,
let's
I'm
paint
literally
a word picture.
Sitting on a chair that is like a foot off the ground.
I'll just bring the microphone to you every
I am,
time.
And I'm a
time
person
you need to
with
talk.
A, I'm a person with a short torso.
Here you go. Now it's
so
to
therefore,
you.
I am literally like 3 feet off the ground. I'm like the lollipop. You know that picture of Jimmy Carter? That's what I look like right there.
Uh-huh.
I'm Jimmy Carter next to your Biden. Mm-hmm. With,
no.
You get the same hair color.
No.
And yes, it's pretty much
no.
that's what this that's where we're at right
no.
now.
No. But he goes and there's this whole kind of refugee underworld refugee camp.
All right, so let me tell you. If living in the underworld means I have to camp, forget it. I'm going to try and find a way to be immortal.
No, it's just that they had like they had overflow.
Nobody wants camping for the
I like
afterlife.
Camping.
When have you been camping?
I went camping the day after I graduated.
Yeah, and what
it
did you
really
sleep
fun.
In?
It was really fun. We slept in a tent.
Like, what kind of tent, though?
It was a big tent that...
I'm never going camping
we
again.
Had. It was a nice
I'm
tent.
I'm done. I used up all my camping tokens.
No, we should camp.
No way.
We should camp.
We could stay in a lodge.
We could camp.
We could say
I believe in us camping.
In a lodge.
Maybe.
Not a tent. Not on the floor. I'm not sleeping on the ground ever
again. Get a mattress. An air mattress.
That's called a bed. No, I don't even want to sleep on an air mattress. I'm too old for an air mattress. I'm putting my foot down. I could put my foot down, but I actually, literally, because of the position of my feet in relationship to the floor, I have to lift my foot to touch the floor. That's how low I am to the floor.
I thought you were going
to
say your feet can't touch the floor. You're too high up.
No, I'm not too high up.
You're just kicking your little toes.
No, I'm too low.
You're just in an adult, like, high chair. Those are just, like, the seats at in, like, fancy restaurants. Where they're, like, super high up.
Seated fancy restaurants.
You know when they're, like, super high up?
What do you mean? A bar stool?
Yeah, but, like,
that's
they're really tall.
That's not a fancy restaurant.
They're, like, super tall.
What fancy? I've taken you to a couple of fancy restaurants. You've never sat in, like, well, you were a baby back then, so you're in a high chair, I guess. Okay, so maybe that's your only point of reference.
No.
To go out to a nice restaurant.
No, there's a pandemic.
How about a... No, it's almost done.
No, it's
Did
not.
Did you read the news?
No, it's not.
Yeah, then we can go out, have a nice meal.
No.
Breathe on people again.
No.
Spit in their faces.
No,
it'd be great.
Gross. Gross. But there's a bunch of overflow housing and everyone's in tents and stuff. Yeah. And Penny, he walks up to this guy who's like presumably an administrator in charge of coordinating all the undead. And he's like, hey, I need to find someone. He's like, oh, you need to file a request, but I can, you know, let you do it and help you find this person if you give me something in return. And he's like, oh God, what do I bribe dead people with? Do you guys still have money?
So they do. I mean, dead people have money.
Yeah, but they don't.
No, they do though. Because why would you put coins on people's eyes for the
afterworld? Yeah, but that's the Greek underworld.
Right.
It's different from this one.
How is the Greek underworld? So you're saying that the underworld is ghettoized?
No.
That there's like the Greek underworld and the Mexican underworld and the Chinese underworld?
I think that would be super cool, actually.
That you end up in your culture's underworld?
Well, I mean, if that's what you believe in,
then what culture would you end up in?
I don't know.
Well, you're like American person underworld. What is that?
I don't know. The good place.
What is hell?
The good place. That's
the good place. So you're going to end up in a house with clown paintings?
Yes.
And a shrimp dispenser?
Yeah.
You don't even like shrimp.
Yeah, that's why it would be hell.
That's true. That would probably be my hell as well.
Not mom's heaven.
Mom's heaven? No, because mom would still have her allergies.
In hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. They'd be there tempting her.
Exactly.
Oh, that'd be awful.
That's terrible.
But he bribes them with,
he makes up
the ending of Game of Thrones, which honestly is probably a better ending than the actual ending of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, what season, so what year was this from?
2018.
And when did Game of Thrones end?
2019.
So he was making it
or
up prematurely?
Or 2020? I don't know. I never seen
Neither
Game of Thrones.
I've never read it.
I've
read it. I didn't like it. It's too depressing.
Yeah.
Everybody's a bastard to each other.
I believe that George R. R. Martin fundamentally misunderstands the Lord of the Rings, which is what he kind of based
Let me tell you about George R. R. Martin.
Well, he hasn't finished his books.
I don't care. So here's what, I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely human being. However, back in the day, this is in like the 90s, there was a series of books that he wrote called Thieves' World. It was like a anthology series, and as the first few books are really good, and George R. R. Martin was one of the many. It was like a group of like a dozen sci-fi writers that all got together and said, let's make like a D&D world, a fantasy world, and we'll write a character. So one guy wrote one character, one lady wrote another.
Cool,
it's a great idea.
I love that.
Yeah, it's super cool. So they wrote Thieves' World, and the first few books
Mutuals
were really good. George R. R. Martin was one of those authors. His stuff was, like, just okay. The problem was, after about three books, the other authors got bored and, like, dropped out. And guess who didn't drop out?
Mr.
George R. R. Martin. And so he started writing other stories and taking over some of the characters, but he wasn't as good a writer as the other writers who originated those characters, and he ended up, him and this other lady writer, just ended up ruining the whole series because they just weren't as good as the other writers. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first exposure to George R. R. Martin.
So you have a lot of strong feelings about
him. I do. And then he edited another series called Wild Cards, which was the same idea, but with superheroes. And the same and thing happened.
You have bigger beef because of that.
Oh, I have way bigger beef because of superheroes.
Maybe you should do that.
What?
With your friends.
What friends?
Right. You have friends.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I have no friends.
Yes, you do.
None.
Andy.
Andy doesn't write fiction.
Well, you guys could try.
He writes role-playing games.
Well, that's a form of fiction.
I've tried to rope friends into doing writing for me before, mm-hmm. and it's never worked.
Well, you don't have
to. I was like, hey, who wants to write the bed bug comic book?
And then you just see what
I did
happens.
Write the first thing. It was a comic book. It came out 8 years ago. I haven't written another one
Maybe
since.
Maybe you should write another one with me.
It's a lot of work.
With me.
Well, with you, would yeah. you? But you're, I mean.
I wrote a bed bug comic for you.
I know, it was good.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. No offense.
Are you going to roast me on the podcast?
I'm going to roast you.
I'm bad at writing comics?
No, you're good at writing comics.
I'm bad at drawing comics?
No, you're great at drawing comics. Guess what you're not good at drawing?
Bed bug?
Superhero comics.
That is true.
Yes, it's not your forte. Uh-huh. It's important to know what your strengths and weaknesses are. Uh-huh. Right now, your strengths are writing like frou-frou magicians, you know, like you know, I feel good about life and gay issues, etc. But we've had this conversation before. Uh-huh. You're still working on things like action and mechanical things.
I'm better at drawing punching now.
You are better at drawing punching
You're now. Very good at drawing punching.
I am very good at drawing punching. That is one thing I'm good at.
You're very good. Yeah, you're I'm very good at drawing superhero comics.
I'm good at laying out superhero comics.
Yes, you are.
Because I did do... All right, I lied. I lied.
You have more than one skill?
No, I lied because I do have another bedbug comic that I'm doing for my board game.
Ah.
But I did all the layout for. Why? Why are you shushing me?
Your board game.
No, it's not secret. I've been blabbing about it for a year now.
Oh.
I gotta get people excited about it.
I thought it was like industry secret because you don't want people to steal.
Well, they're not gonna steal my brilliant idea.
Because you patented it?
For the board game, yeah.
It is a brilliant
idea.
Well,
it does need to be patented.
Yeah, then don't talk about it on there.
Anyway, the point is that...
Secret board game coming soon.
That's right. Well...
Yeah, come get it. It's really good.
All right. So anyway, I did do the outline and then I had my friend Aiden... draw it, and he's a way better artist than I am.
No.
Yeah, he
You're
is.
Both good artists.
No, he's great.
You just have better skill at layout than he does.
I'm a good layout artist.
Yeah, you're a good layout artist.
But he's a better artist.
No.
That's particularly superhero stuff. Thank you, Aiden. You're awesome. I love you.
Aww.
All right.
That's another friend.
All right, I have one friend.
Two
who
friends.
I paid to draw stuff for
Two,
me.
That's good. You should support your friends.
No, you should support artists.
Well, you should also support your friends.
They should always get paid
what they're
worth.
If you're friends with an artist, you should always tip them.
If you were going to commission somebody to do art, like a whole book full of art.
Oh my God.
They should get paid what it's worth and not get underpaid.
Listen, we all don't calculate properly the first time we do things.
Or the third, or
this
the tenth.
This is not the third, this is the first time.
Yes, or the tenth.
Shut up. Speaking of undervalued, Benedict is here.
Aw, poor Benedict.
My sweet boy.
Alright, here's my biggest problem with this whole episode.
Benedict gets... We only get to see two scenes of him?
No, that he lied and made me have to sit through a whole hour
Dad,
of bullshit.
It's a good fucking episode.
What's good about it?
Oh my God. I already gave you the whole spiel about how it's shifting perspectives, and the whole fucking Harriet section is awesome.
That's where I fell asleep.
I know, that's where you fell asleep. That's because you won't pay attention to people speaking in ASL on screen.
I will watch a foreign film any day of the week. I'm not scared of subtitles. I was sleepy. And it was warm, and nobody was saying anything, and there wasn't even music.
Yeah, that's because it was
might
simulating
as well
the
just,
experience of
they
what
might
it's
as well
like
just
to be Harriet.
Print out just what
no.
everything was said and let me read it.
No.
And then get back to the episode.
Oh
again.
My God.
I mean, I like Harriet. She's an interesting character. Good for representation, having a deaf person and a deaf actress playing and working. That is awesome. I fully support it. Today was not the day.
Gosh. Well, we see Benedict.
Yes.
And he gives Penny a big ol' hug. They get a big ol' hug. It's great.
Yes, he confesses that he likes Benedict because...
Well, Penny says, I came to find you. And Penny, and Benedict's like, oh my god, you actually came just to find me and that's it? That's it? That's it? That's all you did? And he's like, actually, I'm here for the key. Do you have the key? And...
Penny's a jerk.
No.
He's still a jerk.
Everyone's a jerk.
He's a jerk to Benedict. Benedict, of all the people,
yeah,
who got eaten by a dragon. Now, don't you think that Benedict's costume at least should have some bite marks in it?
Not bite marks. Don't he got you think eaten whole.
Maybe the death... See, that's the thing. Death in the magicians could stand to be more frivolous.
Frivolous?
Yes, it should be like the end of Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Where you see how the person
died. Maybe when
so,
my...
So, like, if you're maybe. A magician's assistant and you get sawed in half... Then one half should be on one side of the couch and your other half should be on the other.
Maybe.
So therefore, Benedict, who got chewed up by a dragon, maybe he had like bite marks in him.
Eventually, if my laptop doesn't die and my video game gets finished in the summer, you will be able to experience that.
What? Death?
Fun, cool-looking dead people.
Fun dead people. That's just because you like drawing. See, now that's something you like to draw.
I do like drawing dead people.
No, you like drawing people with blood gooshing out of them.
It's fun.
You're not quite there with the action, but you are great with the aftermath of the action.
Thank you.
Just need to work on that middle part.
Uh-huh. But apparently only the library is the only thing that's functioning now that magic is gone. And Benedict's like, I'll help you sneak in. You know,
it's functioning as a library.
Yeah, I guess.
So people can check out books.
No,
read
no
them,
one's checking out books. That's
why
the whole
aren't
thing.
They checking out books?
That's the whole thing is they contain information,
maybe,
but they don't give it out.
Maybe people would be more happy about the situation if they would just read a book.
In
reading
this
books
situation,
is wonderful.
Being dead.
And that's our sponsor for this
week.
Books.
Yeah.
Read them.
Read them. I'm currently reading A Song of Wraiths and Ruin by Roseanne A. Brown, and it's very good.
And I'm
what are you reading?
Reading?
You don't have to get it. Just like
it's
look
right
at
here.
It with
no,
your
I
eyes.
I don't know the name of it.
Oh, why don't you know the name
because
of the book
I'm
you're
not
reading?
Not a memorizer. It's called Situational Game Design. It's by a person I know named Brian Upton.
Hey.
And it's not bad. It's got
I thought
some,
you would be nicer since you know him.
Well, it has some good stuff in it. I'm still trying to figure out, like, I'm seeing if I can apply any of it to my classes or not.
Well, there you go.
That's part of it.
Those
part of it was
books.
For, it was recommended by a friend, and I said, all right, I should read it, and it's by my friend. I should support my friend.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm reading it.
Yeah. Also, you should read The Magicians and The Silver Arrow.
I already read The Magician books.
No,
we have
a
whole
blanket.
Third episode
the
blanket to
advertisement
of me reading a book.
That's not out yet.
What is not out yet?
The third
yeah, book. Yeah, I know. You're going to have to wait. You guys, sorry, you have to wait like another 30 episodes or
no,
something before.
No, it's episode 8. How many is that?
Five away. Six
yeah,
away. You still
five,
have six,
six away.
Episodes to labor through.
No, they're good episodes.
If they're, all right, anyway.
Fuck you, they're good episodes.
All right, so Benny's a dick.
No, so...
And so he has to go back to library.
He has to go back to library to find the key.
Because Benedict says the librarians took the key.
Or it's just like he left it over there. So...
But why would he be even in the library anyway? Like, if they're in the underworld... It's not like they're going to the... Like, it's like, hooray, you're dead, now go to the library. I mean, for you, that would be heaven.
But, yes.
But for the normal people, particularly Benedict, who probably can't read anyway...
No, he can, because he makes maps.
No, he draws a map.
And he has to write, so that means that he can read.
Maybe.
Yes.
Can you, like, write without reading?
No.
Is that possible?
No, because in
there's
got to
be somebody out there. Who could write, right, without reading and knowing what it says? They could imitate the letters.
That is true.
Right?
But you would eventually learn the meaning because you've written them so much and people would probably do, like, word association.
I could write Japanese letters all the time mm-hmm. and not know what it says.
But eventually you would start to know because you've written it so often.
Nah, you might recognize things in context.
Yeah, and that is understanding a language,
like, if
dude.
I wrote, like...
That's what that is.
In a manga or something, right? Like some sort of sound effect.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'd recognize it.
Yeah. Because you've
Japanese
seen it so
for,
often.
I took Japanese for three semesters.
Three whole semesters.
Almost none of it is
maybe
stuck.
You should come to my college and take Japanese again.
Maybe I should come
I'm
to...
I'm taking French again because it's been 2 years since I've taken a class.
Yeah. I was thinking about maybe taking a creative writing class.
You should. Jerry is the best.
Who's Jerry?
He's the creative writing professor at my college.
I don't know if I want to take a class from a guy named Jerry.
He looks like a wizard.
Jerry looks like a wizard?
Yes, he has a long beard.
Does he wear a robe?
He's been divorced twice.
I'll hold that against the man. Maybe no, he just it's hasn't just found love
very
yet.
Funny because I've had two professors.
Why is that funny?
Because I've had two professors named Jerry who have been divorced at least twice.
I'm sure statistically.
There's at least three Jerrys at my college that teach all at the same time in art departments that are all divorced.
Now, if they were all divorced from the same woman,
Jerry?
No, not from the same Jerry, from the same woman.
Maybe.
Then it'd be weird.
That would be weird. I'm a person who only dates Jerrys.
You know, that is more likely.
Uh-huh. Maybe you should write about that.
If there was a name that you could only date, who would you date?
Ellis.
Ellis?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Shout out. There you go.
How many Ellis's do you know?
Only one.
All right. Well, that's all you need, I guess.
Yeah. Penny goes to sneak back in, and who do we see but Sylvia?
Who's Sylvia?
Remember, she died in the poison room helping Penny.
Right. It was Penny's Robin.
Yeah.
Kid sidekick.
Oh my god.
Who then got murdered. But. Just like Robin.
Yeah, but Penny
apologizes.
Penny apologizes to her.
Yeah.
And he says he's sorry that he left her behind. And she's like, whatever.
It's not necessary.
It's not necessary. But he still felt so bad. And he's like, but I left you behind. And he's just like so upset about it.
He wasn't that upset about it.
But it was on his face.
Was it?
It was. Mm-hmm. You weren't looking up.
I was probably asleep by that point.
But then she's like, he's like, how did you know that I was here? And she's like, I read it. Here's some book pages. And he's like, what? You read my book?
I don't like the visual of the loose book pages.
Uh-huh.
Because every time we've seen the book, they've been bound.
Yeah, and now it's just pages.
And it's like...
It's upsetting.
Well, that's part of it. The other part of it is we've seen magical books with unwritten pages that then fill in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't the books just do that?
Because it's one person writing it. And speaking of the one person...
No, because they didn't want to give them a whole book to use as a prop.
Speaking of the one person writing it, we see a long, long silver braid that leads to Alice in a wig.
See, this is another thing I
knew you would not like. I knew you would not like that.
Fake, bad old age makeup. I'm sorry, but the old age makeup that you did in class was way better than Alice makeup.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, you should have gotten a job on The Magician. They could have used you for many things.
But that wig is atrocious.
It's not. It was just not. And then all Alice was doing was
screaming
and glowering.
And grunting.
Yeah, not even grunting, just glowering.
Yeah, but that's what she does best.
I mean, I get it that, what's her name? Actress.
Olivia Taylor-Dudley.
Thank you. Olivia needed, she had to make rent or something, so that she needed
double cash.
She needed a job that episode,
uh-huh.
But it's just it was not. I don't know. They could have hired some old lady.
No, but the point
that's old person discrimination right there.
Uh-huh.
Why not hire like some 97-year-old woman?
The whole point is that it's Alice because they're like, you're not going to get answers for some things, like
why does Cassandra look
or
like
the
Alice?
Candy Witch? You know, what'd she do with Quentin's blood?
Wait,
we'll
is that
never
what
know.
The show writers said? They were like, why does Cassandra look like Alice?
No, they didn't say that.
What did they say?
I don't know if they've said anything. I haven't looked. I could look.
No.
Not right now.
Yeah, let's not.
No.
Why don't you, if you're listening to this podcast, you can pause.
Email us.
Because this isn't going to get any, this episode's not going to get any better. So
excuse you.
Your time would be better spent looking up why is Alice old woman.
But apparently Cassandra is the one who writes all the books, but they did a spell to industrialize it so they could have books for everyone all at once. But now that magic is gone, it's just her writing, and she's writing about the questers
because they're trying to get magic back.
Let's
talk about this lame-ass magic. First of all, the magic shouldn't be working.
It's not magic, it's just her.
No,
she's been cursed by a god. That's why she can do it.
The spell to write everybody's life.
It's not a spell on the spell on her was to make it so she could write everyone's story concurrently.
Right.
But
so
now it's just her writing one
Penny's
story at a time. Yeah. So she's writing all those
but
sections
Penny's
that
dead,
we,
kind of.
Yes.
So
he's
why
not.
Is she writing
because she's,
Penny's story?
Because
still?
Even when you're dead, you still are sentient in this universe. So you still have a story that happens.
Seems awful convenient.
Yeah, but she's writing about the questers because they're trying to get magic back, and that's the most important thing happening.
How do you know? How do you know there
because
isn't somebody more important out there?
They literally said it in the show.
I would wager that there's someone else more important that should have their adventures. Bingle would be one of them. Of course I'm talking about...
Bingle.
Josh.
No! We're going to see him next episode. Know, calm down.
I know. I wish we could just I know you miss forward. Him.
Well, All That Josh is a very good episode. Very
better
excited.
Better than this one?
Yes.
Better than One Key?
Better than One Key, but it's not my favorite.
Okay.
It's still not my favorite. You don't get to know what my favorite is.
Well,
so
we're down to like five episodes
I know.
Left. I have to guess which one is your favorite.
You
I don't
can
think
guess
you even,
right now.
I don't even think you have a favorite.
I do have a
season.
Favorite. I do.
I think
we're
your favorite
to it.
Is episode 13 of season 4.
I'm going to kill you. Like, I'm going to stab you with a USB.
You want to kill me?
No.
Your father?
No.
Then it would just be fillery. And then
be
it
fillery.
Would be like blood drops. .. That's it. And then like on the little drawing for our episode would just be me with X's over my eyes. And blood dripping out of my neck.
No.
Dead dad.
No.
That's what you want?
No.
It'd be not good for your podcasting career.
But I will destroy you. No, 413 is not my favorite episode, Dad.
Okay.
It is, in fact, my least favorite
All right, your
episode.
Your favorite is
5-1. No. No. No.
5-2.
No.
5-3.
That's actually the second most least favorite episode. Yeah. I hate that one so much. I hate that one so much.
Obviously, I've hit a nerve. I'm good at this game.
No, it's not a game.
No, it is. All right, let's get back to the sloth.
You're evil.
I am. All right, so Poppy, back to Poppy.
Yeah, back to Poppy. We haven't even gotten to her. Oh. This is the very first, so we get to see 6 short stories about magic because that's the name of the episode.
We're in one.
So this is the very
first
short story.
This is not 6 short stories, by the way. This is like one part of Penny's story, which is stretched out
Penny
over
is, no,
the
Penny
whole
is just
thing.
Reading all of the short stories.
Haven't they seen an anthology series? Don't they know? The Simpsons does. If you want to watch a good, you know, blank X short stories about whatever, watch the Simpsons episode. It's something like 21 short stories about Springfield or something. That's how you do it. Not this half-assed fake Rashomon attempt again. Which, did they already do Rashomon? They already did that, right? The story from the multiple angles. So they're already running out of
they're
tricks.
They're going to do it one more time in season 4.
So creatively bankrupt. All right.
But we see Poppy hooking up with Quentin, and he's like, why are you doing this?
Why
she's like,
is
well,
he
I'm
having...
a very self-interested person who
why
wants
is
magic
he...
back.
What is he getting it on with Poppy?
She came on to him.
But first of all, Poppy and him aren't even a thing in the book.
They have sex once.
Poppy?
Yeah, they do.
When does Poppy and Quentin have sex?
On the Muntjac, right after Benedict dies, but before they go to the underworld.
Oh, that's right.
Because Alice watches them and gets mad.
Right, right. Is that in your music video?
It is.
Oh, all right. All right. So then, Poppy...
Well, they're talking about the quest, and she's like, what are you even doing here? Like, why is this so important? And he's like, well, because we've got to get all magic back. And, you know, a quest is supposed to change the quester, and I know I need to be a hero, but I'm not. But I have to win the quest. And she's like, oh, so basically, you're, like, going through... a gauntlet, and the gauntlet makes you worthy of getting the thing.
There's no gauntlet.
I know.
This whole episode, there's no gauntlet.
It's the fetch quest.
It's not even a fetch quest. It's like a half-assed heist with a half-assed quest with, like, all the interesting things they could have shown you. They don't. They don't even do an insert shot of the key when they get it.
We do see it.
No,
he
don't.
He
holds it up in like it's a medium long shot, and you don't even get to see what the key looks like at that point.
It's
after
the one,
all that build
up. Well, it's the depression key that we already saw.
Yeah,
it's the one that got
swallowed.
They
must have used the depression key on this episode.
Oh my god, Dad. But Poppy says, you know, why don't you just be you and accept the consequences? That's what I do.
Yeah, Poppy's a psychopath. But really, I mean, think about it, right? What do they say about psychopaths? They're charming. They're people get excited to be around them. They like.
I don't know
sex.
If people are excited to be around Poppy.
Well, it's because we don't really see a lot of people around Poppy.
That is true. We only see the Questers.
Right.
But we, you know, who we do see?
Who?
Alice and.
Yeah, Alice. She's a psychopath in a different.
No,
direction.
She's not. No, she's not. No, she's not. I'll have you know that I went on an hour-long rant about why Alice is a sympathetic character in season 3 and her motivations to Alice, my girlfriend, the other day. They did not ask me to stop, so I kept going.
Well, that's because they were being polite. Well, I'm going to tell you to stop. So,
I haven't even started.
That's good. That's so rude. Dodged a bullet.
But she's worried how... everyone's going to go into the library and get killed because the only way to get it is to use traveler DNA, and Victoria has to make a mirror bridge. But to do that, she has to use a bunch of her blood, and there's no way for them to keep it stable, so she
again,
just wants out.
The most, first of all, arbitrary bullshit ever.
Uh-huh.
They just wanted to have somebody cutting themselves, which is not good. Right? Again, another suicidal tendency thing that they're glorifying in some bizarro fetish style method.
Do you see why?
Oh, no.
Do you see?
I've seen a while, for a while.
Uh-huh.
It's very...
Hindsight is
2020. Have they talked about this at all?
No.
Not at all. Do they realize that was a major theme to the storyline?
No.
Depression and bad ways of handling it?
No. Well, I know when we'll get into that, and it's not now.
Soon.
Next season.
Not even next season.
Next season. Actually, like episode 11.
Of what? This season?
This season.
All right.
You know why? Because you remember?
No, I don't.
Beast Q. Remember?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, we'll get to it.
All right, so we have, we need to put blood on
the... blood on the mirror.
Right.
And apparently, Poppy asks, you know, why are we even going to help Harriet? Like, shouldn't we know what we're doing before...
Harriet's been the only person that mostly
has motivation.
Well, not just that, but also has been, like, helpful to them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's been helping all the time.
Yeah.
This is her one favor.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Everything else... Well, no, she got the book for them, right?
Yeah. That's... Yeah.
That was a favor.
That was a favor for them.
The book.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, she gave the book to them, and then it was, like, a cursed thing, you know? But, apparently, a bunch of witches and wizards, magicians all over the world have been looking for something called the Alexandria Sev, which is supposed to be this huge battery that the library has. So they're going to the satellite branch
enough
in order to
batteries.
Find a giant battery because no one has magic.
But enough with this battery BS again.
We have
it's
a
like,
swearing warning. You can swear.
No, I can't. I can't fucking swear.
You can't swear.
How many episodes has it been now where it's all about we got to get this battery? Oh, this battery isn't big enough. Now we got to get this battery. Oh, it's not big enough. It's got to get this battery. You know what this is like? Do you ever watch G.I. Joe?
No. Well, I've seen one episode of the animated series.
Yes, the animated series, not the movies.
No.
The animated series, it was always like, we need the Weather Dominator. And
you've
the Weather Dominator is in four pieces. We have to go all over
before.
The world to get the Weather Dominator
uh-huh.
and then put it together.
Uh-huh.
And then, oh, we can't use the Weather Dominator because G.I. Joe comes in and saves the day.
Uh-huh.
All right, what are we going to do now, Cobra? What's our next plan? Let's get the Weather Dominator. It's like the Death Star with Star Wars, right?
Uh-huh.
How many fucking Death Stars do there need? I love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong. If you turn your head to the right, you will see all the Death Star and all types of Star Wars,
uh-huh.
right? You know I
no,
love...
No, it's called Starkiller.
You know I love Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
But there's a limit to how uh-huh. many Death Stars. Two Death Stars
uh-huh.
was almost too many.
Uh-huh.
Three Death Stars, Starkiller was too many. Four, all the Star Destroyers having Death Star guns, too many. It's just, after a while, it's... It stops being a trope, and it starts being just a lazy plot device.
Uh-huh.
And these batteries are lazy.
Well, but Poppy steals Alice's Niffin notes about mirror bridges, so they're
Why does she have Niffin notes?
Because remember, at the beginning, at the end of season two, she wrote down everything that she could remember about being a Niffin and took, like, a shit ton of Adderall.
How does Poppy know about Niffin notes?
Because someone mentions that, like, Alice wrote it down when she was a Niffin.
Right.
And so, and Poppy, so Poppy goes like, and steals them.
Oh, I'm going to go to
She steals Niffin's, her notes.
Niffins.
I'm it's just like a notebook full of stuff.
Alice's bedroom and yeah, steal a notebook.
That's what she did.
How does Poppy know where what's her face's bedroom
she
is?
She snooped around. She's just like that.
She was on a boat.
No, they're not on a boat. They're in the cottage. Oh my god. Get your locations,
this
dude.
This whole show is a mess.
But, so Victoria feels like, okay, I guess we're gonna do it. So she slices her arm open and they shuffle inside. Yeah.
And then they go into they split the up. Most boring set in all the magicians.
I personally really don't like the library sets.
No, well, I'm not even talking about the library. I'm talking about Mirror World.
Oh, that's cool looking. What's cool I like about it.
It's just a lit up bridge.
I really like the effects that they did for the mirrors, how it's like ripples like water when you go that's through it. Like, I love that.
That's like a built-in software program that you can get with
But it's
Maya.
Cool looking.
It's like that's like a $2 plugin that
but
you can get.
But it's cool looking.
The cool whole conceit looking. Of like water mirror is water. That's so old. That's so Alice in Wonderland.
But like water was the first mirror, so why wouldn't it be water?
All right, that's fair point.
I got you there. but immediately they're like, oh, we got to split up and find the key because it's not
what is
here.
Is this Scooby-Doo?
I know. They're not the Scooby gang.
No, they're not. That's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And even they were smarter than these guys are.
Yeah.
These guys are ding-dongs because they like split up all the time. And then guess what happens when they split up?
They die.
They all die.
Yeah.
Or they get locked out of something.
Yeah.
Actually, that happens to them more often. How many times? It's too bad we don't have a lockout. A locked
counter.
Out counter. Because
that's when we do Filler and Father season 6. We start watching the show again.
No. No.
And we do
there's
a count.
No way I'm watching this again.
No.
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 I do have an idea for the last episode.
Oh?
Yeah.
Of season 5?
No, of like our show.
Our show?
Yeah.
Well, will that be a special episode?
I'll mention it maybe later.
Oh,
gotta keep something a secret.
Interesting. But we...
Because we are at the halfway point, right?
Technically? Sort of, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's season
There's
5.
There's season 4 and 5, and then we're gonna do
the
other
books. Well, one book.
Graphic novel and the comic series.
And the graphic novel?
Of course. And okay. Silver Arrow.
No, no.
Yes,
not
it's
Silver
magicians
Arrow.
Related.
Silver Arrow has nothing to do with the magicians.
Related.
No,
we
it's
watched,
Lev related.
Well, we watched the Map of Tiny Perfect Things, so.
But that had a magician's reference in it.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
Where was that?
You didn't see it?
No.
Ah.
It's called Lev Grossman being
to, you
in.
You have to go back and watch.
It was Lev being
yeah, was,
in
it
the
was
movie.
Yeah, it was Dev Fleischman was in the episode.
Yeah. Well, Silver Arrow has magic in it.
Does it have Dev Fleischman?
No, it does not have Dev Fleischman in it.
It's a missed opportunity.
Damn, missed opportunity indeed. But they're like, oh, well, we have to get out of here, you know. Go back to the mirror, but on their way back, they see Alice with a duffel bag. She's at the library, too. What's happening?
You know what's a conceit that I'm a little sad that they don't do anymore?
What?
They should have just, for the rest of the entire season, had Alice with a cat that would occasionally explode.
No!
You'd see her in every scene. She'd have, like, a little cat carrier. And then just, like, at random, it would just
no!
explode.
Because a lamprey is just, like, 5 feet behind.
Whatever, yeah. It doesn't even have to be the lamprey. They could just forget about that
Alice
part.
Has an exploding
cat
aura.
Just, yeah, exactly. Just whenever no. she needs to have a cat with her at mm-hmm. all times. And then every so often, it's like the drummers in Spinal Tap.
Uh-huh.
Just every so often, the no! cat explodes.
No. But Poppy runs off. And
explodes.
She goes back to the mirror bridge and she sees Victoria still, like, you know, slicing
herself.
Away.
No, wait, she has to cut herself every time somebody has
Which
to get
through.
Which
is so stupid. Just squeeze out
the blood. I know. Well, or just, like, go to the
Go to the blood bank.
Donate some blood.
Drink some water, and then paint orange juice. Yeah, and have some cookies. And yeah, eat, replenish that blood. Come back with the baggie and a paintbrush. Yeah.
Duh. Stupid.
Solved. Magicians Writers, we know that the show is canceled, but you should still hire us because we can make your show better. But Poppy sees Victoria and she's like, come on, or you're gonna die. And she's like, no, they're still in there. So she's like, well, die then, and leaves.
Laters.
And then we see Alice's point of view, and we get these wonderful, like, tight shots of Alice's face. I love it. I love the angles. Dad. I love the angles.
I don't remember any of this.
It's really great. And we see kind of a replay of the conversation from Alice's point of view.
Here's my notes.
Alice, library. Oh my god.
Nothing about tight angles.
But she's like, this is when she's talking to Katie, and we find out that that Harriet wants to find this huge battery. And that she wants to open the library to everyone and make it open source because she wants everyone to share in the knowledge, because what is the point of keeping knowledge if you're just going to hide it away?
And libraries are all free.
Yeah, libraries are meant to be a free distribution of knowledge.
Library and just get a free membership card.
Yeah, just check out.
And you check out, you can check out DVDs.
This show is sponsored by libraries and books.
You can check out audio cassette tapes. Yeah, if you can find an old cassette player. Yeah,
you can check out puppets.
You can check out. Puppets. You know what you can check out a library?
Level Up by Scott Rogers and Swipe This by Scott Rogers.
You could do that, but I wasn't looking to self-promote. What I'm saying is some libraries, cool libraries,
they have
board games. Oh, you can check out board games.
I was
going to
promote my book, but I forgot the title.
Maybe we should go to our library
and
see if they check out board
games.
They
do curbside
pickup. Maybe then I could donate some of my games to
the
library.
Maybe you could.
And then they would say, children under 12 can't play Reagan's and Rocket Jets.
And then you go, cool, put it in the adult section.
And
then you say, put it in the adult section.
There's not an adult section of
board games. Maybe they need
an
adult board game section at the library.
Maybe they need
an adult board game section in the library. Yeah. But
maybe I could do that.
Maybe you should.
That was actually something I thought about before pandemic.
Was like
going to the library and
are
saying,
"Are you gonna donate pandemic the game?"
No, I was not donate pandemic the
game. We don't even own that.
No, we do.
Oh, we do.
And we own pandemic season
one. It's not a board game.
It
podcast.
Should be a board game. Imagine, just imagine.
You can do that with another friend or family member.
We could have a board game podcast where
you
we
do
play
my brother,
a board
my
game.
Brother and me, and
no,
it's just you
it's
and my uncle
Evelyn and.
No.
And my collection.
No. They all talk.
No, and
it's like Toy Story.
We play a board game every week and we talk about it.
And like live stream?
And no, just review it. We don't need to like live stream the playing part. Nobody wants to watch two people play a board game. That's lame.
Yeah.
You just want to get the thoughts on it.
This is why we would not have a live episode of Fillory and Father, because it'd just be us silently taking notes.
Because nobody would Twitch stream that.
No.
What percentage of our audience are Twitchers?
Twitchers?
Yeah.
Twitchy. You're twitchy.
Speaking of which, what is the name of our fan base?
The Fillory and Father fans. I thought we decided it was
FFF. Fillory Father followers.
It's
bunch of effers.
Yes.
That seems mean.
But Alice says that you don't know what kind of power could get into the wrong hands.
Like books?
Yeah, and she's like maybe, and she's like maybe that knowledge shouldn't be accessible to everyone.
Why not?
You know,
it's like this.
Alice has
you
a complicated
out,
relationship can, to magic.
You can check out a book on Spanish.
Yes.
Not everybody is going to become fluent in Spanish.
That is true.
So therefore, people should be able to check out books in magic.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has become fluent in magic.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Alice is that she has a very complicated relationship to magic because she grew up in it. And she was constantly entrenched in it, and it was very natural to her as a child, but it's also the only thing she feels like she's valued for because of her skill in it. Mm-hmm. And because she sees her parents and their kind of negligence that stems from the fact that they are engrossed in this magical world, and the fact that her brother Charlie was destroyed because of magic, creates this kind of, you know, contradiction. And she was destroyed by magic. And then she was entrenched in that magic when she was a Niffin. She was a being made of pure magic. So she has this contradiction in herself where she has been a part of this world for so long that it is a natural part of her that she doesn't really know how to live without. But she feels more and more as time goes on throughout the season that maybe she should live without it. But also she's been so exposed to it that she still, you know, sees the kind of logical use for it, but also she's seen the way it has been used so badly in the past, whether by just pure kind of laziness or versus like pure maliciousness with the beast. So she sees all these things happening, and because it is constantly having this like negative effect in her life, she feels like, why wouldn't the world be better off without magic? You know, Q's dad is in remission. You know, all these other things are happening because magic isn't happening. No one's dying in freak accidents anymore because there's no more magic anywhere.
People are still dying in freak accidents.
Yes, but they're normal freak accidents. They're not magical freak accidents. So she, in her mind, what she's seeing is that maybe things would be better if there were no magic and they were not accessible to anyone, because she, unlike Josh, because I know you like Josh, doesn't see the worth in it, and she measures herself only by the worth of herself as a magician, but she, like, doesn't see that as something that she wants to be worthy of anymore, versus Josh, who measured himself by the worth of himself as a magician, but had already seen what he was before without magic, and he sees
measuring himself by a worth of himself as a cook.
Yes, and he's a very good cook. But he didn't see himself in a world where without magic, because to him, magic was something that brought him joy. But to Alice, magic is something that brings her pain, because, you know, she's internalized that magic is pain thing. So that's why she feels the need to betray her friends and betray the quest to restore magic, is because she has been burned by magic so many times. She doesn't want that to happen to anyone else, and she doesn't want it to happen to her again, you know?
Sounds like this show would be much more interesting
if I wrote it, thank you.
If it were just about Josh.
No! Because
then it'd be fun, lighthearted romp.
No, it wouldn't. It'd be Josh being a garbage person. A garbage man who raises psychedelic tomatoes and carrots and stuff. Anyway, that's why. So she sees the fillery clock. She's back in the cottage being sad. And who pops out but Fen? She's like, give me a drink. And then she's sad and drunk talking about her dead baby. And then Alice is like, you know, I had all this knowledge in the world and I had everything. I knew everything. And then I lost it. And I just feel so awful compared to you. And Fen's like, fucking excuse you? My fucking daughter died. Like, that's not the same thing. You can go get your knowledge back. You can go be smart again. My daughter's dead forever. Like,
she's got
dang,
a point.
Dang, girl, get some perspective. So then
that's
she
Alice
goes
is a garbage
to the
person.
No, she's just complicated inside, and she's got a lot of problems. But that doesn't mean she's a garbage person. And besides, being a garbage person is a very noble profession, and it's very important in society, and you should always thank your garbage man and person.
How about garbage character?
Garbage character?
Yeah.
No, that's Oscar the Grouch.
All right.
Thank you. I'm very funny. But she goes to a book drop and annoys the book drop dude until a traveler shows up. I forget his name. I think his name's Simon. I might be wrong.
Slept through all this.
Kevin or something. Traveler man.
I fell asleep.
Mr. Traveler man. But she convinces him to take her to the library to talk to the head librarian, which is, of course, Zelda. And she's like, here, I brought all my Niffin notes. I want access to that battery. I want that information. I want the rest of it. I was working on a grand unified theory of magic.
Yeah.
And Zelda's like, nope, we already have all your information. We don't want it. But you know what you can do? You can do us a favor. And so Alice is like, okay.
Oh, let's go on a fetch quest.
Yeah, fetch quest. I'll do you a favor.
Don't forget to save first.
But Zelda gets called away, so Alice turns to leave, and this is where we see that scene again of Q and Poppy and Alice coming across each other. And Quentin asks, are you working for the library? And Alice doesn't answer no, doesn't answer yes. She's very conflicted. And then we see Elliot. Beautiful Elliot. And meanwhile, this whole time, Penny is, like, reading the sections and commenting. And, you know, he comments on Poppy and Quentin's sex scene. And he's like, this is awful. I'm skimming it. And he crumples up Cassandra's papers. Elliot. We see Elliot. And he's like, I hate Fillory. It's awful. The plumbing here is terrible. You guys suck so much. But, you know, when I was drowning, Fillory saved me. So please let me save you guys. And stop having this trial / peasant uprising, your honorable wombatness. Because they're
wombat?
Yes, it's a wombat.
It's a cat.
It's a wombat because they're on trial right now.
Right.
And then Penny's like, what the fuck is this? Why is he talking to a marsupial?
And that was it, right?
That was the only scene that we see Elliot
Another
in.
Easy day for Hale Appelman.
And then we see Fen. And she is being sad again and drunk on the couch when she sees Irene McAllister come in to talk to Julia. And who does Irene have but a fairy attendant next to her? And Fen can see her because she went into a fairy deal. So she goes and...
She went into a fairy deal.
Yeah, and Irene has been suffering from, like, burns on her stomach because she's been using the fairy powder. As we know, it is crushed fairies. I said that last episode. It's a side effect, but, you know, Julia has her own magic, so she can fix her up. And
I would think that snorting crushed fairy would, like, affect your lungs and nasal passages.
But it, like, why would your it's stomach, magical. So.
But why would your stomach break out?
It's magical.
No, it's just magical. It's the only place they could put makeup.
Yeah. They can't put makeup on your intestines.
Constantly bleeding out of your nose or something.
Maybe.
Right?
But or your ears. She's like, here, do this treatment for me. And Fen pulls Julia aside and says, hey, you know, I think that fairy is manipulating Irene because that's all they do is manipulate and, like, ruin your life and steal your babies and it's awful. You only wrote fairy. Damn, Dad. And, you know, Julia says, no, like, what was the fairy doing? And Fen was like, well, she was just kind of, like, looking down and, like, attending to her. And Julia's like, that sounds like she was, like, a servant. Like, Fen, do you have slaves in Fillory? And she's like, trust me, it would be so much better if this fairy was a slave. And Julia's like, no, Fen, no one is better off being a slave. Jeez. So, Julia says, you know, I have this tiny spark of magic in me, and it grows when I help people. So I think that we need to help her. And so Fen gets the job that she doesn't want
to
do.
The fairy.
She has to talk to the fairy. So while Julia is doing the treatment on Irene, she talks to the fairy and she's like, yo, what's your deal? Irene's going to be mad at you if you don't tell me things. And she's like, I've seen you before. I've made a fairy deal. And the fairy says, her name is Skye. She says, there's no other fairies. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, oh, shit, you are a slave. Fuck. And she talks to her for a bit. And it's very clear that, like, Skye is, you know, very timid and, you know, very subservient. And she's like, Irene's going to be mad at me. McAllister's gonna be mad at me if I don't come back soon. And she's like, okay, go.
But at least Skye has all of her.
And she's like, come and talk to me again tomorrow at her house. So they go to her house and they break into, like, this back room and they find Skye laying on a table with her leg sawed off. And that's what they're making the dust into. They took the leg, dried it, and powdered that shit.
Sounds like a really... Okay, did we talk... We talked about this last week.
We have talked about this. Must... Right. Yes.
The mustard analogy.
Yes.
This, again, the powdered fairy, I like...
Would you snort fairy?
No. Well, good. Mean, first of all, I...
Don't.
Well, I wouldn't snort anything, right? Not even cocaine. So
why is not even? Why?
Yeah, well, that's what you normally snort, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's like...
Cornstarch.
No, you don't snort cornstarch.
On stage, you do.
To pretend like fake, it's cocaine.
Yeah.
I would not snort cocaine. I mean, I would not snort cornstarch uh-huh. either. Why would you want cornstarch up your nose?
Because it's fake.
No, you don't want anything up your nose.
Yeah.
You should not put anything up your nose. That is my fatherly advice.
Okay.
For this episode, do not put anything up your nose. Not a pencil, not your finger, not, don't even jam a Q-tip all the way up in there.
What if you're doing a COVID test?
Okay, if you're doing a COVID test, jam that up your nose. But have somebody else do it for you.
Uh-huh.
And just have them be careful that they don't jam so far that it goes into your brain pan and kills you. Although that's a pretty fast way to die, I hear. Right? That if you just get some, like, you know, you ever hear a story of, like, somebody who had the bridge of their nose shattered?
No, no more of this. No more. Now it's Harriet's turn.
All right.
This is the best section.
Right. So
that
I,
you slept through.
No, I was kind of half awake.
Uh-huh.
Because this is like, it's about Harriet and their backstory with
their
mother.
Yeah, we see
mother,
her whole backstory with
right?
her mother,
So
Zelda.
In other words, this section is really The Legend of Zelda.
Oh my
da,
god.
Da, 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 da.
You've been waiting to make da, da, that
da, 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 da.
No.
So, yes, we learn all about Zelda and Harriet.
Yes, so we start off first in 1952. Harriet is a little girl, and she's skipping along. She actually went outside to the fountains, and she was looking for Fillory. And this whole section is muted silence. Mostly you hear kind of a low buzzing and very, very faint noises, just like you would if you were Harriet herself.
If you were...
Hard of hearing. And... So Zelda is like, you gotta be careful. You can't go outside. Time works differently here in the satellite branch. If you go out, you might grow up and then come back all old, you know? And she says, you have to stay here and, you know, help me with the books and help at the library. And Harriet's like, you know, but people who go on adventures don't stay home and read books. And she's like, trust me, you don't want to be a part of the story. Bad things happen when you're a part of the story.
That's right.
So we've kind of like established that like Harriet is very adventurous. And then we see 1985, Harriet is now in college, and she's come back from school, she's going to break bills, and she's asking Zelda if she can bring some of her friends into the library so they can read some of the books. And Zelda says no, because the principle of the library is not to share information, but just to collect information. And she's like, they can only come if they have a library card, but you just shouldn't bring them in the first place, you know. Why do you even have to go out there in the time, like, the where time is normal to have college and stuff, you know? Why do you have to do this? Come back and work at the library, and it'll be fine.
Nepotism.
And she says there's no books for anyone who doesn't have a library card. And so Harriet's like, fine, I'm gonna leave. And Zelda's like, well, you know, you're gonna get a suspension of your lending privileges, and you have to come back to work. And she's like, no. I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna stay somewhere where I'm not trusted. And so she leaves. And the next time she comes back, you know, after years of not seeing her mother, it's 2007, and she's come back and she says, can I come and check out a book if you, you know, lift my suspension?
Harry does not look like she's in her 50s or 70s.
Time works differently. Every time that she was in the branch, her time was like time was suspended,
she's the Winter Soldier.
Sure, yes, she's just like Sebastian Stan and just as cool, but she says, you know, I need the principles of Conjuring Elementals, which is the book that was overdue for like 10 years, and Zelda asks her if she would come back to work. They also have a really, you know, deep hug because, you know, it's been years since they've seen each other. And she says, we could really use your help. The great blank spot is about to happen. And she says, you know, Harriet says, you know, I've been working with people who want to fix this and, you know, want to, you know, solve this problem. And, you know, you have to fix this loss by trusting other people. And you have to do the right thing and you have to open the doors and let out the information and let people in. And Zelda says, no, I have to stick to my principles, and in the time of a crisis, you can't go changing everything you believe in just because something bad is happening. And, you know, I'm not gonna let these people in. We have to keep this information because it could get in the wrong hands, and I'm not gonna do that for you. So Harriet takes the book, and she's like, well, then I guess we have nothing more to say to each other, and she leaves. And then it's 2018, And we see kind of the same scene we saw before, but from Harriet's point of view of Katie talking about the mirror bridge. And then they get to the library. She gives directions to everyone on how to get everywhere. And they're like, oh, have you been here before? And she's like, oh, once. Well, twice, you know. And they go to the priceless artifact storage. And they look around and they see a bunch of stuff. And they hear Katie hears a noise, so they go and hide. And it's a traveler, and he goes and opens up the case of the fairy dust. And Katie knocks him out, and they see the case, and they're like, what the hell is this? And Katie, like, tastes some of it, and she's like, well, it's not cocaine. And Harriet's like, come on. And she's like, oh, come on, you haven't tried it before. And Harriet snorts some, and she does this huge fireball. And they're like, oh, my God, this is the magic that we've been looking for. So then they're getting out of there with the case between them, but they see Zelda. She's going through some files. So Harriet tells Katie to run, and she's like, she won't attack you. She won't hurt you. Just go. And so she sees her mom, and they stare at each other. And she's like, you know, I don't want to hurt you, Zelda says. And she's like, well, you know, what is this? What is this thing? And she's like, oh, you don't want to know. And she's like, you led everyone on like a wild goose chase looking for a battery that doesn't exist. And she's like, well, sometimes a good lie defends, like, a greater secret. And they both, like, put up shields and, you know, push through. But Harriet gets away, and she gets through the mirror onto the bridge with Victoria. But the traveler guy breaks the mirror, and the mirror bridge breaks with Victoria and Harriet inside.
And then what happens?
And that's where you finally hear sound.
Yeah.
This whole time, you hear the breaking of glass.
So what does that mean for Harriet and Victoria?
I guess we'll have to find out.
That was the cliffhanger?
Yeah, for them.
That's when I woke up.
And then we see Penny, and he's very frustrated. He throws up some papers. He's like, come on, Alice. You gotta give me something. And she's like, I'm not Alice. Stop it.
By the way, I realized something.
What?
You could cosplay right now as Cassandra.
My hair is not long enough.
You can put an extension.
A giant wig. But she actually throws back a page that he had read previously. It's the Quentin and Poppy sex scene. And that
he didn't read enough of
it. He didn't read all of it. And he rereads it. And Poppy said, Quentin says, why are you doing this?
How good of a sex scene could have been if it was only one page long?
Not that good.
Somebody premature?
Maybe. Who knows?
Why was Cassandra crumpling up all the pages?
She's just going through it, man.
No, that's just...
She's just going through it.
Why put all that work into writing a page just to crumple it up?
She's just going through it. Let her live. She's going through it. But he rereads what Poppy says, and she's like, because when I'm it's only a matter of time when I'm alone before I do something stupid.
Poppy?
Yes. And so he's like, of course, Benedict. So he goes back to Benedict. And Benedict reveals that he actually buried the key and that he thought that Penny would come back and they would, like, live in his tent and they'd spruce it up together. Aww. Yeah, it's sad. Poor Benedict.
That's the end of Benedict. We never see him again.
And Benny says, you know, Benedict, to be honest, you're the only person who cried when I died. You are my friend. But as my friend, you gotta help. Because we gotta bring back magic. And he's like, okay. And don't worry, I'll bring you to the library. And I'll take you to the map room. And you're gonna be so popular. It's great. That is very sweet.
But does it actually happen?
Yes, it does. Oh. And then he finally gets the book. He puts the key in the book and he sends it up the chute. He's with Sylvie and he's like, hey, I gotta thank you. Thank you again for helping me, you know. I know I kind of left you in the lurch last time, but I'll see you again when I, like, die a second time, I guess. And, you know, Sylvia has a look on her face, and he's like, what did you do? And she sends the book up the chute, and she's like, I'm sorry. And then
Penny is chuteless.
And we see Katie and Quentin, and they hear the dragon barfing, and they get the book.
It's not a good sound.
And they get the key. And they go through the mirror and get out, and we see Penny get arrested or, you know, taken away by the underworld library authorities, and that's where it ends.
And that's the end of
the series. End of the episode.
All right.
Now, I would like to say, one thing that does bug me is that in the book, when Quentin goes to the underworld in The Magician King, and he goes just because he wants to see Benedict. Like, he wants to know what happened to the key. He wants to, but mostly he wants to tell Benedict, like, what happened and that he didn't die in vain. The whole point is that he went down to see him, and then, you know, just as, like, a fun consequence, they find the key. But in this, it's reversed, and it's, they're only there for the key, and they're not there for Benedict. And it just sucks. You know, all the kind of heart, like, that kind of heart from the books is just devoid, in many aspects of the show. And it sucks a lot, because, you know, there's just so much caring in that story that it's kind of gone.
It feels like the writers don't love the characters.
Wow. You don't say?
And they don't care about them. Uh-huh. And they don't try to surface the good from them, but rather they just concentrate on how can we torture the characters this week. And us as the audience are almost willing participants as we sit along and watch this because we can't do anything to help them either.
It's masochism.
It is masochism. And you are putting me through it.
But yeah, it's just sad, you know, because that's such a wonder. That is one of my favorite scenes in The Magician King, is when Quentin goes down to the underworld. It is sad
where he, like, goes floating back up and he's trying to
hold on. Yeah, and he tries to bring back Benedict and it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work.
And, but it's just, that scene made me cry so hard the first time I read it. Yeah.
What about all the bowling? There's not even a single bowling. There's no bowling.
That's true. But there is badminton in the underworld in the books.
Why were they playing badminton?
They're all playing games and stuff. It's like they're all in sleepaway camp wearing shitty pajamas and stuff. But yeah, that was the episode. That was six short stories about magic. And what?
It didn't feel at what all like you... six short stories at all.
What would you rate it?
It wasn't short, nor were there six distinct stories. It was essentially one story with some sort of half-assed separation device to justify strong cuts between the different characters.
But you gotta admit, it was fun. That was fun.
No, it wasn't. It was.
It was fun.
It was. The most interesting part was Harriet, and yet it was also quiet, so therefore I fell asleep. And I missed most of Harriet's story. I had seen it before, so I kind of knew what was going on.
But
I knew
barely
that,
remember it.
Well, I know that Zelda was her mom, and I knew that they had kind of a falling out. And that's really all I needed to know about that. It all could have been summed up very quickly.
A little short card that says that.
Yeah, exactly. Done. Yes. This is what happened. Previously on The Magicians, this. All right, we're done.
Uh-huh.
This felt like a almost completely unnecessary episode. Almost completely. The key, the way they got the key and they went through the whole rigmarole to get the key back, unnecessary. There wasn't any sort of clever plot. It wasn't very fun. Penny just comes off as a big dummy. Screaming Cassandra, not Alice, was annoying. Poppy still remains an annoying character. They didn't show any dragons. What else? Julia, blah, blah, blah. The whole fairy storyline is stuped. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you cut off somebody's limbs and then snort?
Crush the bones.
Stupid. And I'm giving this, if I could give it a zero, I'd give it a zero.
How dare you?
But I'll give it a one. I'm sticking by my one. I did not like this episode.
I am giving this episode a 5 out of 7 because I really like this episode. And I love the different perspectives, and I especially love...
There was no different perspectives.
Yes, there were.
No, you just got little bits you like...
Yes, those are the... Yeah, it's the interweaving story, and we get to see everyone's perspective from the same story.
It was the
same
stuff.
Listen, I've got my opinion, you've got yours. Narratively,
if we were to structure this out, if we're in my narrative theory class,
uh-huh.
And we were to chart this...
You're
going to
give Sarah Gamble and John McNamara and Henry Alonzo Myers like an F?
No, they get a D.
A D? Because you're gentle?
I don't give Fs, but I do give Ds for for bad. Well, here's the thing. When I teach narrative theory, I teach on structure, not on content,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think it's fair to gauge somebody on their creative content in class, right? Because I was somebody who wrote stories in college, and I thought they were perfectly fine stories, but because the other people didn't like them, I got bad grades. which doesn't seem fair. But I wrote the story and it followed structure, and it showed that I understood the structure that the teacher was teaching. So therefore, structurally, this episode gets a D. Because it just wasn't a good... For an episode that claimed to be six distinct separate stories about magic, it was not. It was one story from six perspectives. This is a totally different thing. So they failed the assignment.
Okay. But yeah, I really liked it.
Alright.
So, good. 5 out of 7 for me. I love the Harriet section.
And you didn't fall asleep once?
No, I did not fall asleep once. Fuck you.
It's kind of a strong response for me being tired.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, thank you.
You didn't eat enough sugar.
I just, it's been a long day.
Uh-huh.
All right, so, that's it, we're done.
No, we still have stuff.
What's going on in the world of the magicians? Hopefully something more exciting than this episode.
Right now is the Queer as Fan Work Magicians event, which you write about magicians' characters who have different sexualities and gender expressions, and you know what kind of pairings you want to go with that. It's happening still, I think, this week, which is very fun and sexy.
Has anybody written a Abigail story yet?
I don't know. Maybe they should.
Would that... All right, so let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If Abigail is involved in a relationship with our friend Rafe, Sergio, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's a heterosexual male.
Uh-huh.
And Abigail is a sloth female.
Yes.
Is that a queer relationship?
That depends on Abigail's sexuality, I guess.
Well, no, I mean...
Abigail bisexual?
No.
Then it's a queer relationship because she
Abigail
is queer.
Abigail is going... is doing it with a human.
Yes. That's just...
So does that count as queer?
No. They are the only straight couple I will accept.
But they're cross-species.
That's cross-species. That's different.
That's different?
It's different.
Hmm.
It's different.
Maybe the queer society needs to broaden their mind about...
I think you're straight qualifies. And you don't know the stuff, so well, you can't confidently talk about it.
That's true. Alright, I will admit that.
Mm-hmm. There's also a Magician's D&D game currently, you know, being constructed. So if you look at the Magician's
D&D... What does
D&D,
that mean, being constructed?
If you look at the Magician's D&D Twitter right now, someone is looking to run a Magician's themed game with the D&D system. They're looking for players. So if you want to go, just go to
up
that
to
Twitter.
How many players, though?
I don't know. My game has 7 people.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of people, but there's 8 questers. Well, Josh is an NPC in my game.
What about Todd?
Todd is also an NPC. I'm going to have to do a Todd voice. Ugh. It's awful. But those are the only things that are happening currently. Magician's Big Bang, right now, artists are going to choose what fix they're going to write, which is super cool. I have my list of, like, my top 5 already, so I'm very excited.
Is it only somebody gets to write one thing?
So the authors have already written the majority of their stories, and now the artists get to go and look at the premises and choose what ones through the summaries that they want to do.
But it's only one artist per story.
Only one artist per story.
You know what would be really interesting is if somebody wrote one story and a bunch of different... You know what would be really interesting is if somebody wrote one story and a bunch of different artists illustrated it.
Maybe. Maybe that would be a thing. Or maybe not.
That could be the small bang.
Yeah, the small bang. But yeah, those are the only things that are happening right now. And you know what we have?
What do we have?
An email.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it was worth sitting through this episode.
Wow.
Just to hear the email.
Yeah, send us an email at fillerandfather@gmail.com. We will read them out loud on the podcast, pretty please.
And even mostly pronounce your name correctly.
Yes. So this is another email from Chelsea Kidd.
Yay.
Just listen to Evelyn's masterful reading of my wild ride of an email. I'll respond to your question about your ranking among other magician podcasts on Twitter because it made sense 30 seconds ago when I decided that and I'm going with it. I'm emailing because I believe Scott said he needed a certain number of emails to push for him to write fanfiction, and I'm just dying to see magicians fanfics written by someone who doesn't care about writing fanfic and who doesn't even like the magicians. Plus, there are some wild premises. Consider this my vote for a Scott Rogers foray into fan fiction.
Okay,
Chelsea.
Okay, we have one vote.
Well, two, actually, because, you know, Ellen also wanted some fanfic.
Okay, two votes.
And I do actually have the thread right here.
Oh, yeah, that's keeping track of...
Yeah.
How many people are voting?
So this is the thread from Chelsea at FillaryFather. That's our Twitter. Tweet at us, please. I want to interact with people more. I want to do polls and stuff, but you gotta help me come up with ideas.
Okay, I can come up with ideas.
But this is what she said. She said, FillaryFather, you asked about how you rank among the other magicians' podcasts, and honestly, I can't decide. Each one has their own flair. For example, yours is the only one where one of the hosts isn't actually a fan of the show the podcast is about. Every single magician's podcast I listen to, I'm like, what is this? What are they doing? Why? And then a couple episodes in, I'm invested and need to hear those particular people's take on every single episode. The funniest episodes are of all the ones where straight podcast hosts discuss a life in a day. Bless. FillaryFather is interesting because of the whole one host isn't a fan thing, and for one fan being devoted yet disillusioned, which, yes. Also, the game designer perspective is really interesting. Live updates on events in the fandom, super cool. It's kind of like how I can't choose a favorite magician. It's not Alice, but then in season 5, I love her too. All of the podcasts are beautiful in their own way. You could get bonus keys for having more Evelyn's Mom episodes, though. Just a thought.
Well,
don't worry. In 5 episodes... Mom is coming back.
That's right. Mom is always our big season
She's
capper.
She's our big catch.
She's
you
our
know?
Finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what our strength is.
Yeah. But contact us, FillaryFather@gmail.com, FillaryFather on Twitter, and Fillory and Father on TikTok.
Only 97 more votes.
Yeah. Come on, send us some emails, please.
I honestly don't even think we'd have 100 listeners.
I don't think so, too. But I think we could at least get 5 emails
well,
about the fan
maybe,
fiction.
Maybe. How about this?
Aaron.
To all of our listeners out there, recommend Fillory and Father to one
Leave a
friend.
Comment.
Well, leave a comment,
Leave
too.
A comment.
Don't,
rate us.
Don't ask our audience to do too many things.
Okay.
They have busy lives.
That's true.
But if they were to send, like, if they were to forward it to one friend and say, hey, I think you would really like this podcast, and also this dope who is the co-host says he will write fan fiction if you
And that'll be
in.
Our special episode. We'll read it out loud on the podcast. Your
eyes. I haven't even written anything yet.
Your mouth dropped.
I haven't even agreed to write anything.
I think we should have a live reading. We could do voices.
How about this?
Oh my god, we could do character
voices. How about
voices.
This? Fillory and Father fans.
We both write fics?
No.
And then we read them?
No.
Yes.
Fillory and Father fans, how about that's the last episode of the show?
Ah, your fan fiction?
If.
So now you have to do it.
No, if.
No, you have to now.
I get enough people.
Yeah, you have to now. You have to because you're saying it on the podcast on air. You have to. It's set in stone.
I haven't quite dedicated.
You have
I'm
to.
Still on
You've
the
already
fence.
Talked about it before. You have to.
No, I've only threatened it.
Yeah, and that's a threat and a promise. You gotta now.
I have to now.
Yes,
have
you
to,
have to.
At the end.
You have to.
So I have two seasons
it could
and a
be,
half.
It could be fix it. It could be her
Let's
comfort.
Fix it. What?
Fix it means you fix the ending or you fix something bad that happened in the show. And there are so many bad things that happen in the
well,
show.
We've talked about a lot of them
you
already.
You could fix all of season 5.
What's the other one?
I just said a hurt comfort, which is a character gets hurt and then they get comforted.
It's like.
You could
like
do it. You could do an
cuddle?
AU, which is an alternate universe. You could do the Magicians, but they're the Scooby-Doo gang for real. You could do the Magicians in Star Wars, the Magicians in Star Trek. You could do Coffee Shop AU, which
What's
is
that?
Where
like Friends?
It's where a character works at a coffee shop.
Like Friends?
Yeah. You could do Superhero AU, where they're all superheroes.
No.
You could do a Batman AU,
no.
where one of the characters is Batman.
I've never written a Batman
fan
fiction.
You mean Penny is Batman? Because he is, you know, he is kind of, he grew up in a foster home and stuff, so he could be Batman. You could make Penny Batman. And you could
Batman
make Benedict
grow
Robin
up in a foster home.
That's true, but you could change his backstory because that is the power of fan fiction and literature and writing. You're making a face, but you could do it.
I am making no promises.
Okay,
we'll see.
Well, you're making a promise.
I'm making a promise
you're making
that the
a
last
promise.
Episode.
Yeah, the last episode is going
reading.
To be a live reading of your fan fiction, and I can do mine too if it makes you feel better.
What if my fan fiction?
I
is
could read my Frog Quentin fan fiction.
No,
no,
that,
you
I
don't.
Mean, I like your idea. I think the Frog Quentin thing is cute.
Thank
but,
you.
Anyway, all right.
But
well,
who would you turn Quentin into?
What would I turn him into?
A horse.
No,
that
what?
Would make Ellen happy.
A horse?
If he was a horse.
I'm not into weird...
What are you thinking of?
Anyway. All right.
Wait, what would you turn Quentin into?
Nothing. What animal? I haven't even thought of that.
A dog, a cat, a bird?
No, it's not even...
A worm?
No, it's not on the table.
An iguana?
No, what?
An axolotl?
All right, this is getting...
a blowfish?
This is getting very weird. All right, where can people find you online?
You can find me...
Find all these weird fan fictions.
You can find me at @wow_then on Twitter, @fishydwarrows on Instagram, and Patreon. Also under the name Evelyn Rogers. I make things and draw them, and soon...
And they're beautiful.
If my laptop isn't dead, and when classes end, I will hopefully be doing more things, because I am doing a video game. It's not done. It will be at some point. Now I have an editor. So shout out to Ellis. Third shout out.
Oh, you have an editor for a video game?
I do have an editor. Nice. It's for grammar because I write the dialogue in the code.
Alright.
Where can people find you?
I don't know. Around.
Around? Are you lurking
in the night?
If we put out a signal for you,
no,
will
I'm
we
not
find
Darkwing
you?
Duck.
I'm making a Batman reference, and you don't appreciate it? Wow.
I'm tired. This was a long episode. You can find me in the usual spots on Twitter at Mighty Bedbug and at Instagram, where I haven't been posting, at Mighty Bedbug. And that's it. Those are really the only two places. You could just send emails to us.
Yeah, send us emails.
@gmail.com. That's
give
what
us some ideas for dad's
that's what
fan fiction.
Matters the best. And if you want, if you feel so inclined, live tweet our episodes.
Oh, yeah.
We
thank
love
you,
it.
Aaron. Thank you, Mai. Thank you, Ruby.
It's always fun to have you read your responses to our ramblings. So this one should give you plenty of grist to comment on.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, guess what?
Next episode, all that Josh?
No, guess what?
Music episode next episode?
No, guess what?
What? I love
we
you.
We did it! Oh. I love you too.
We did it!
Yay!
Yay!
All right, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. Bye!